God determines when it is time to move to the next day, to the next item in the agenda. The law was finished. Temple worship was finished. They were still in the temple and killing goats and rams. Even when they saw that without hand, nobody went and did it. The day Jesus Christ hung on the cross there, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies was torn into two. It still didn't mean anything to them. Maybe the carry tell or go so and back. He said, remove not the ancient landmarks. That's what the Bible says. It's an order. Why? Because you are traveling here now. There are people that are coming behind you. So you leave a mark of the route that they will follow. They will use it to identify. This is the route our fathers followed. And we will follow it. They baptize in the name of Jesus. You will baptize in the name of Jesus. They did not ordain their wives. We shall not ordain our wives. It was not a family business. We shall not set up family business. Is somebody understanding me? They did not charge people before they pray for them. We will not charge anybody before we pray for them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to understand it that way. Don't come here and modify salvation. Modernize salvation. You don't do that. The due order now is to follow the message of the hour. You refuse him, God will spew you out of his mouth. You will never hear his word again. This is where we pick our text from Romans chapter 10. I'll read the first three verses there. Brethren, this is Apostle Paul talking about the spiritual condition of Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And this is how they do it. Verse 3. For they, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Just a recap. I want everybody to sit down and listen. Because the problem that the Jews had is the same problem that Christianity is going through now. Jews, the first son of God, Israel. We are the second son, Ephraim and Manasseh. We are the second son of Israel, of God. Israel is the first. And the mistake of the firstborn, the secondborn, should learn from the mistake of the firstborn. So that you don't fall into the same mistake. Because that mistake was very costly. And that mistake now will still be costly. They have a zeal of God. Zeal, so zealous. So zealous until one of them, I don't know whether it's the Pharisees or so, there's another section among the Pharisees. So that they will not see evil in the street. They even walk and cover themselves whenever they go out. Evil everywhere, or holy people. So when you talk of holiness, they were holy. They were holy. They were zealous. One of them stood at the temple one day and was beating his chest before God. I fast 3 times in a week. I am not like that publican there where they cheat people up and down. He was sure. And you say it cannot happen in the church? Listen, Jesus Christ says, in Matthew chapter 7, he said, not all that will say, Lord, Lord, that will enter into the kingdom of God. It's not everyone that is going to church that will enter. It's not everyone that is evangelizing that will enter. It's not everyone that is anointed that will enter. No, there are some people that have the biggest churches around, but they will not enter. Why? They will even stand before God and say, was it not in your name I cast out devils? It means the anointing was genuine. They were fasting, dry fasting every now and then. They never defiled themselves. They have a zeal unto God. But he said, but it is not according to knowledge. See, meditate on that thing very well, whoever is hearing me. Knowledge is important. With all that getting, what did he say you should do? Get understanding. Get understanding. He said knowledge is the principal thing. Because ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Catch these statements. They are very heavy statements. They just scattered here and here. The people need to meditate upon it. The whole world supposedly are serving God. So many religions. Each one claiming superiority. Each one claiming superiority. Some are going through Buddha. Some are going through Muhammad. Some are going through Hindu. Some are going through, what do you call them? All of them, one by one. A zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Ignorance. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. Hallelujah. What do? They have instead created for themselves their own self-righteousness. They created their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They are still holding on to the law. Unknown to them, it has been moved away from there. We're in another phase of life. There is a divine timetable for salvation of man. God determines when it is time to move to the next day, to the next item in the agenda. The law was finished. Temple worship was finished. They were still in the temple and killing goats and rams. Even when they saw that without hand, nobody went and did it. The day Jesus Christ hung on the cross there, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies was torn into two. It still didn't mean anything to them. Maybe they carried tail or go so and back. Amen. These are the things that give us faith, confidence to walk with God, that knowledge. So that's all. And this story that we see in First Chronicles chapter 13, David himself, I'm just recapping what we spoke last Sunday. David himself was to go and bring the ark of God to Israel. That has been with the Philistines. Since the days of Saul, they did not inquire of it, the ark of God. It symbolizes so many things, the presence of God before Israel. A good idea. You know, the intention was beautiful. But to go and bring the ark, in bringing the ark back to Israel, hallelujah, they went, instead of doing it God's provided way. In Exodus, is it 24 or so? The Lord told them through Moses, this is how, he gave them how to build the ark. He gave the dimensions and everything. And told them, this is how you will carry the ark. Praise God. Remember when Joshua wanted to cross the Jordan? What did the Lord tell him to do? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The ark, those bearing the ark were in front. As soon as their feet touched the water, what happened? The water parted. Because they carried the ark according to the due order. But this one now, Moses was going to carry the ark, and instead of him to go back to the law, how did God say we should carry this ark? Instead, he went and made a wrong consultation, consulted with the people, and then they decided to get a cart. That is the most dignified means of transportation reserved for VIP at that time. So you see, he meant well. He wanted to give the greatest honor that can be given. David was that type of person. Remember one time, he just woke up and said, look, he is dwelling in a palace. And the ark of God is in a tent. He's uncomfortable over it. That's somebody who loves God so much. So imagine what was in his mind when he was going to carry the ark. How shall we show God that we really honor him? The best means, the way that kings move, they will sit in a cart behind there and the horse in front will be moving them with some wheels. I think, let God use that cart and let us walk on our foot and follow him, giving him honor. Beautiful idea. Beautiful idea. Hallelujah. But your idea must not go contrary to God's own idea. No matter how beautiful your idea is. And God was watching them. David gathered 30,000 Jews, Israelites, for this mighty revival. And what happened? They were going, hey, rejoicing. I've always told you, imagine that kind of revival. Imagine what was going on that day. And with all that revival, suddenly the cart stumbled and the ark was going to fall off. Uzzah rushed so that the ark of God will not fall down. Is that not a good idea? Is that not somebody who loves God? He wants to help God, but unknown to him, it was God that was causing it to happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, church, listen. I hope you all understand what I want to say now. Listen, church. If you ever want to see God, he is always manifesting himself in simplicity. That is what makes him God. The greatness of man is displayed in the magnificent things he does around. That's why, to let you know that I'm a great man of God, I have to design my cloth in a glorious way. So that when you enter the church, you will know who is that great man of God without anybody pointing it to you. So that you know who is the GO. He dresses and then his cross is big and is hanging on his big tummy and doesn't fast. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what they wear. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 23 says. He said, don't be like those hypocrite Pharisees and Sadducees. This is how they appear. He said they design their clothes in a certain way. They enlarge their phalanges. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They wear special clothes. And they love in the feast to sit in high places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a wedding that Pastor Enoch in Port Harcourt went to wed somebody. And he was sharing with me. He said they were going to call a pastor to the altar, to the high table. And they said, we also call on Pastor so-so-so-so. He refused to stand up. Pastor, so-so-so-so, please refuse to stand up. Then the usher says, sir, you are the one they are calling. He said, how can they address me, Pastor? I am Reverend Doctor. So the MC had to publicly apologize. Oh, sorry, he's not a pastor, he's a Reverend Doctor. And now he now stood up, Reverend Doctor. Amen. Listen, church. Oh God. The God of creation wanted to come among man. How did he come? He looked for a non-recognized family. Ordinary carpenter. Of all the families in Israel, it was an ordinary carpenter that he went into the family. Apart from that, when it was time for that, the creator of the heavens and earth to be delivered. His own son to be delivered. Where did they deliver? In a manger. In a manger. Amen. Listen, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Anytime God does something, there is a meaning to it. There is a meaning to it. The carnal man, instead of him to look at the meaning of the action, he is looking at the magnitude of the action. Hallelujah. Was Jesus Christ not a lamb? Where are lambs delivered? In a manger. That is why he showed him, pushed her there to go among animals. You'll be born there. Because he was coming as a lamb. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But because of the way he came, the big religious people did not recognize him. Why will Jesus, God himself, tell Moses that the ark, this is how he said, should be carried. It should be carried in the shoulders of the Levites. On the shoulder of the Levites. Why? Because he is the one that appointed them to take care of his word. To take care of it. They are responsible for it. There's a reason for it. Until today, the word of God must be carried by a Levite. Animals do not carry the word. And there is no new anointing. It's the same old God. He is the Lord. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't change it. Don't change it. He said, remove not the ancient landmarks. That's what the Bible says. It's an order. Why? Because you are traveling here now. There are people that are coming behind you. So you leave a mark of the route that they will follow. They will use it to identify. This is the route our fathers followed. And we will follow it. They baptized in the name of Jesus. You will baptize in the name of Jesus. They did not ordain their wives. We shall not ordain our wives. It was not a family business. We shall not set up family business. Is somebody understanding me? They did not charge people before they pray for them. We will not charge anybody before we pray for them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to understand it that way. Don't come here and modify salvation. Modernize salvation. You don't do that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I love those songs in our hymn books. There is an anointing behind those ones. You agree with me? There's an anointing. There's an anointing. You know, that anointing is deeper, and you feel it more than when you sing song like hey, sakale, 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 hey, sakale. You know, when you sing that song, so I cherish that old rugged cross till my trough is. At last I lay down. I will cling to the core of the cross. And the change is something all around. Anus, I wanted to help God. And God smote him. Smote him. Dead. He died. In a revival. They're supposed to be, that David knew better. You know, I love those men of old who wanted to walk with God. See, God appeared to Joshua face to face. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And promise him that anywhere he step his feet upon, he will possess it. Promise him that he will not lose any battle. It was thus say the Lord. The first battle is confirmed. The next battle they are going, several of them died until they pursued them. They said, Kai, something is wrong. Something is wrong. When you begin to see things that should not happen around a Christian begin to happen to you, don't say it is the will of God. Now lie. Let there be a solemn assembly. Take an inward look. Why is this thing happening to me? It shouldn't happen. And David knew that something was wrong. And a pack the ark one corner in the house of Obed-Edom. and then decided to come. Mukuna, come. How did God say we should carry the ark? Why didn't you ask that question before you go and carry it? I stressed on that last week. The first thing you should do, you didn't do it until trouble come before your sins come back. And he found out, like we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, that it was because they did not do it according to the due order. What is the due order? God told Moses, you will use it, you will carry the ark anytime you want to move, but Levites, two in front, two behind, with a staff, a stick like that, they carry it on their shoulder. That is how they have to walk. Not a cat with a horse. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In that revival, 30,000 of them. 30,000 revival of 30. Imagine a church that is 30,000 in capacity. Not gather one place, so, but they were all on the street making noise and going and moving about. And with that, with all their dancing and shaking and jumping and shouting, God was not there. That's the emphasis. Why was God not there? No matter how many you are in your church, if you are not doing that service according to God's due order, you are out of God's order. God has no hand in it. You are on your own. And what will it produce? It will produce death. And what is death? Death is separation from God. And because God's presence is not among them, they are forced to use their human ideas. That is why in John, is it Matthew 15, he said, in vain do they worship me. In vain. Teaching for commandments, the doctrines of men. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's always been that. I gave you the example of Cain and Abel. Cain's own was rejected because he didn't do it according to due order. Abel's own was accepted because he did it according to the revelation. By revelation. By revelation. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I told you. And God is no respecter of persons. He used Moses to prove it. Moses did contrary to what God told him to do. It cost him his life. And I tell you, no matter how anointed you woman preacher you are, I'm telling you now that if you do it not according to due order, you are inviting death upon yourself too. Separation from God. Same thing. It's like denominations. No matter what, how rich you are. Hallelujah. God, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is not part of any revival that is contrary to the due order. And this is the due order. The Bible. Lift up your Bible, let me see. Oh, lift it up. No, you should be proud of it. Put down your hand. This is what we use to check whether we are in order or out of order. It's the Bible. We do nothing contrary to the scripture. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, I told you, to serve, for your service to be accepted before God, I said there are six musts. Six conditions. Six. We looked at two last week. We saw the first one. He said, ask him in John chapter 6, verse 28 and verse 29. What must we do to do the works of God? What will we do? What kind of things should we do that God will accept what we serve him? How we will serve him? For our service to be accepted. And he answered, Jesus Christ answered, that you believe on him whom he, God, has sent. Listen to him who God has sent. Israel, God sent Moses. Listen to him. And in listening to Moses, You will soon discover that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet among you like unto me. Stephen said it. Peter said it. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ stood before them when they were calling Beelzebub. He said, search the scripture. In them you think you have life. He said, for they are they that testify of me. He was still pointing them. Look into the scripture. You will see me there. You see me there. Has it been known before that a virgin conceived and gave birth? Didn't the Bible say a virgin shall conceive? Hallelujah. And bring forth a child. Didn't she conceive? The scripture, where did they say Messiah that is coming and you all are expecting? Where will he be born? Was it in Bethlehem, Judea? Didn't the Bible say so? Where was he born? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He says, search the scripture. And now, Apostle Paul says, study. Study. To show thyself approved unto God. So, you have to believe on him whom he, God, has sent. And I say it, I make bold. I'm not saying, I'm saying it by revelation. I am not an American. I did not see the ministry of William Branham. I was not there at that time. He died in 1960. But I saw the message in 1989. So many years after he died. But I'm telling you, he is the one whom God has sent to the church in this age. You turn him down, you will go out of order. He sent him to bring us back to order. Believe on him whom he has sent. That's number one. And we looked at it very well last week. Number two, whatever you are doing, listen, it must be according to his word that has been spoken. It must be according to his word, the word that he, God, has spoken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then I explained that so much. Now today, the third one. I'm going to the third one now today. For that service to be accepted, number three, it must be by the one he, God, has chosen. Don't go and do anything until God tells you to do it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm saying this concerning those who make claims and boast of ministries. We that do follow, we have our own. But this particular point are those who rise up and claim ministries. Before you go to become a pastor, Obina, God must tell you to go and gather. David, they hear me? Because you know you look like a pastor. It's not enough that you can speak grammar. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not enough that you desire to do something. David desired to build a temple. Am I correct? 2 Samuel chapter 7 says so. He desired to build a temple for God. He had a big idea. But while he was thinking and planning on it, what happened? God came down. Although I made you a king, although you are a man after my heart, although you are the only one on earth that I have made both a king and a prophet, although you are so close to me and you have established Israel so much to my pride, to my glory, you are not the one that will build it. The son that is coming after you, he's the one that will build it. If David therefore ignores that and goes with all his might and build that temple, will it be acceptable before God? No. The day of dedication, the glory will not come down. You have to understand that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And don't say you have an oratory ability. Aaron was fluent. Very fluent in talking, very sharp. But his brother, Moses, was a stammerer. So, one will expect that if God is going to send somebody to Pharaoh, he should call somebody that is fluent in English. He's fluent in his grammar. That has no deficiency. A man that will stand before Pharaoh and say, God knows that deficiency. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Moses knew that he had that disability. And was complaining to God. Then God said, okay, wait. I will bring your brother. You will be like a god to him. And he will be like a prophet to you. So anytime you want to tell anybody anything, you see, say, this thing won't waste your time. Just go to him. Tell him, say the Lord. Aaron will go there and say, don't say the Lord. Waiting again. But why would God remove him and just anoint Aaron? Oh, that's our God. That's our God. That's our God. Can't you see in this church, hallelujah, that those that God has anointed in the prophetic realm, even grammar, English, you know, sabi speak. But you sabi speak English. Why God not give you that anointing? Can't you see God? Can't you see God? I am talking here. If you come and stand before me now, say nothing they work for me, I go say, hold on. I go still call one of them when no sabi speak English. Why God say no say, Pastor Moses, I'm going to make you a prophet. Since you can preach the word. He has a reason for it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if I stand here and begin to act like a prophet, I am out of order. There is the office of a pastor, there is the office of a prophet. You cannot be a pastor and a prophet at the same time. You are out of order. That's the problem with Christianity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when Moses died, another person did not come and say, Moses is gone. Now, I am the next. The person that would have made that claim would have even been Aaron. Because Aaron worked with him. Those of you listening to me, I am telling you the condition of the entire message. There's a group of people that say, William Branham. Right. After William Branham, now Raymond Jackson. After Raymond Jackson, now Amos Omoboriowo. Why? Why is it Amos Omoboriowo? Because Amos Omoboriowo was always going to America and then associating with Raymond Jackson. He even wrote a book about Raymond Jackson and then he knew so much about what Raymond Jackson stood for. And then, before you know what, they say, now then create that thing, oh. Raymond Jackson is the next person after William Branham. And remember the comment that Raymond Jackson made when he was alive concerning me, I am now the next person. No! Aaron didn't say like that, no matter how close he was. What happened? They still waited for God to select who will take over from Moses. And God did not choose Aaron. He knows why he didn't choose Aaron. He chose Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to understand that. Yes, now. The Levites did not just on their own begin to arrogate to themselves the right to walk at the temple. No. It happens. Ministers, when nothing they work for them again, men and women, nothing they work for them again, they go find small money, come go enter Bible school. They enter Bible school, finish. Come back. They try business, they didn't work. Try this one, they didn't work. Poverty, don't they come? They sit down, make some small mathematics. If I have 100 people, even if I only 100, Lord, even 100, Lord, I don't go die of hunger. 100 people, they give me tithe, I am okay. They enter Bible school. Immediately they come out of Bible school, they change their name to Pastor. Pastor. Oh, Pastor, which is your church? He said, no, I never start yet. Then why are you Pastor? Then they jump, say, my own is ministry, I'm just evangelism. You know, he knows he doesn't have the ability here to gather people. They jump from shop to shop. They bless shop to collect tithe and offering. They are the ones that have created that 12 o'clock fellowship in the market. He's a pastor. Oh! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are churches that are employing such people. A Levite, it was God that selected the Levites by himself. Selected them by himself. God must call you by himself. Not from your ideas. Not from any other zeal you want to serve God. No, that's not how Levites we are called. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when God calls you, praise the Lord. When God calls you, he backs you up. He backs you up. He backs you up. He backs you up. Don't worry. Whoever they are that we want to challenge you. Aaron was called by God. Aaron was called by God. Amen. And Apostle Paul said, I think verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 5, he said, no man taketh this honor unto himself. Can we open it? Read it for me. Who they read them?
Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. And no man taketh this honor unto himself.
Uh-huh.
But he that is called of God,
uh-huh,
as was Aaron.
Uh-huh. No one, don't take this honor of ministry upon yourself unless God call you. Unless God call you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everyone that God used that we see in the Bible here, they didn't just take off on their own. It was God. It was God. Paul, we saw how he was called on the way to Damascus. That's where his ministry started. Jesus personally called him. 12 disciples, Jesus personally called them. John the Baptist, God called him even before he was formed in his mother's womb. And his name was given. Yes. Hallelujah. John, the Revelator, it was God that sent him to that island. And that's why he recognized it. Praise the Lord. And in this age that we are in, God personally came and called William Branham. And church, listen. When God is going to call you, he will always leave a witness to that call. Paul, on the way to Damascus, he was not alone. They saw what happened to him. The disciples that he called, of course, there's no argument about it. Yes. John the Baptist, there's no argument about it. When he came to William Branham, he made sure that they gathered by the river in 1933. And before the eyes of hundreds of people by the riverside, when he was doing that baptism, a voice, a star, like a light came upon his head. And a voice, some people heard that voice. God allowed cannabis to hear the voice of God. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming, so are you given the message that shall forerun my second coming. They heard it. There's always a witness. Praise the Lord. Not like Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz, oh! That story is in 2 Samuel chapter 18. Absalom, the son of David that David loved so much, died in the battlefield. He became the enemy of David. But though David sent armies to fight him so that he won't overthrow him, but he still loved him, a father and a child, no matter how bad you are. That's why he said, once saved, forever you are saved. God desires you to repent. And before you know what, they killed him. Joab, the leader of that battle, the general that led that battle, called all of them and said, who will I send? No. Ha! Him I said, na me. Joab looked at him. You don't have the ability to deliver such message. And he called another faithful servant. That one didn't say, I will. That one was standing there in the congregation. God knows all our abilities. It's not he that will it, nor he that run it, but it's God himself that showeth mercy. Cushi, Joab said, you standing there, Cushi, come. You'll be the one to do it. Go and do this. Run and go and give the message to the king. He ran and was going. Ahimaaz said, me too, Joab, I will go. You have no tidings. He told him, you have no message. Let me go still. That is how some ministries are. God didn't send you, you send yourself. That's why you see they have to use human idea, use this one, use to keep the people together. There is nothing they have to make people come and stay. Listen, church, a Pentecostal pastor came to me some 2 years ago and told me how he located this church. He said he had a ministry, but the ministry refused to grow despite all the gifts that he has. I'm saying this because a pastor in such condition may be listening to me now. Listen, he said, he told me this by himself. He said that he had gone to all the churches that things were happening. He said he went to TB Joshua. He went to Winners. He went to Choosing. He went anywhere. He felt that maybe the anointing he had was not enough for his church to grow. And let me quickly add here, church, before I complete that story. Listen very carefully. The last thing you should ever do, the last mistake you should ever do, is compare yourself with any other person. Listen, you don't know the source of their income that is making them wealthy and you are poor. You don't know what they are doing. You don't know what they are doing that is making their churches grow like wildfire. You don't know. The evidence is, go and tell them to tell you how they do it. Then go and do it as he tells you, and so will they do it, and see whether your own will grow. Because he won't tell you the truth. Now they know what they do when they are church, they grow. Fire. Because I have tried to listen to some of them, and they are saying nothing. Nothing to attract that crowd. Not even the miracle big enough that you will say people are coming because of miracle. Nothing. Therefore, now they know what they do. When people they call, yafu, like that. God will expose them one day, one by one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we have had testimony of people who say they went, you know, somebody came and met them. Somebody told me, say, they came and met him. A pastor that visited us. Said somebody came and met him and said, you know what make your church grow? A Babalao was telling him, you, and they see every time, you know what, in the village there in the east. He said, you know what? He said, I want now. He said, then you, why are you not coming? I know, I will give you something. He said, him? He said, what are you saying? Others are like that. Now, this is what you want to do. Now, you go take build your house. Now, you go take ride better car. Now, you go take marry. He's a single brother. Eh? Chizoba is your senior brother. He's a pastor. You're sharing that with me. And the truth is, there are people that go to get such things. To tell you the composition of the church. And the reason is because God didn't call them. You call yourself. Now the man was thinking the anointing. Church, let me tell you something. He said he went everywhere and he was frustrated. He didn't know what to do. He said one day he was just scrolling the television and he met us when we were ministry on MITV. So he said, I was almost closing in that broadcast. So he said, we'll be this one again. He said he took the time, wrote down the time. It was once in a week we were doing that. The next time he came, he said, and that became his favorite pastor on the screen. He said, one day he was watching And he had me make this statement that the anointing you have will attract the people to come to your church. But it is only the word that will keep them in the church. And that is the truth. That's what I believe. If all that you do in your church is anointing, healing, deliverance, your church will be like a hospital. Is hospital anybody's permanent address? No. Is it only when you are sick? You remember that hospital? After doctor don't heal you, finish, you pay his bill. What happened? You go back to your Catholic church. Because there's no message to keep you there. Oh. Ahimaaz, you didn't have message. Ahimaaz began to run. Joab said, hey, they go now. He ran. The Bible says he overtook the one that was sent. He overtook him. And that is a type of the denominational juggernauts that ran ahead of the entire message. Hallelujah. Amen. And Ahimaaz ran. And somebody, the watchman, watched. And then he saw somebody running and coming. He said, King, somebody they come. Obila said, from the war front, message they come. He said, who be that? The way they come. Because they know how they move. He said, this one looks like Ahimaaz. The way they run. So he is known. He's known. And he ran. He don't overtake the person with the message. Kiri kara. And then he ran and landed. Hey, King, long live King. King, he said, Ahimaaz, what happened? Is the man Absalom alive? Is he okay? My son. He said, King, all is well. What is the message? King, all is well. All is well. Is that not their sermons? All is well. I say you will make it. I say you will make it. Somebody, all is well. Tell your neighbor, all is well. All is well. All is well. No message beyond that. Go and read that story. Ahimaaz. David said, what happened? He said, see, I was there and I saw there was tumor. We were running. But what happened? I don't know what happened. The king looked at him. All this race that you run, come, you know, look at me. In the Bible, open it. Second Samuel chapter 18. Hallelujah. From verse 28. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon the face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against thy Lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, did Joab send him? Did Joab send him? Okay. I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. You can read it on your own. So why were you running for? You can get that message at title running without a message. Get it in. I explained that very well for them. Why were you running for? Praise the Lord. Ahimaaz. The full puppets these days in the Christian world. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, it must be by the one he, God himself, has chosen. If he doesn't choose you, wait until he chooses you. And follow him who God has sent.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
My
Father and my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord.
Because you love me so, you alone. Oh, only you alone.
God determines when it is time to move to the next day, to the next item in the agenda. The law was finished. Temple worship was finished. They were still in the temple and killing goats and rams. Even when they saw that without hand, nobody went and did it. The day Jesus Christ hung on the cross there, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies was torn into two. It still didn't mean anything to them. Maybe they carried tail or go so and back. He said, remove not the ancient landmarks. That's what the Bible says. It's an order. Why? Because you are traveling here now, there are people that are coming behind you. So you leave a mark of the route that they will follow. They will use it to identify, this is the route our Father has followed, and we will follow it. They baptize in the name of Jesus, you will baptize in the name of Jesus. They did not ordain their wives, we shall not ordain our wives. It was not a family business, we shall not set up family business. Is somebody understanding me? They did not charge people before they pray for them, we will not charge anybody before we pray for them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to understand it that way. Don't come here and modify salvation. Modernize salvation. You don't do that. The due order now is to follow the message of the hour. You refuse him, God will spew you out of his mouth. You will never hear his word again. Number four. For that service to be accepted, the man doing that service must be vindicated and equipped. You must be vindicated and equipped. If you follow that in John chapter 6, after Jesus answered them that you should believe on him whom he, God, has sent, then they asked him, what sign, in verse 30, what sign showeth us that we may see and believe thee, what doeth? Can we open it? That's the way they put it. Okay. He said, they said therefore unto him, okay, what sign? That is what I'm looking for. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You say, we should believe on you that God is the one that sent you. If God has sent you, there must be a sign. There must be a vindication from above. And Jesus had his vindication. One time, John the Baptist was locked up in the prison. Because even John was confused. After he announced, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He it is that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Introduce him. He said the sign that God gave him is he who the Spirit of God will come like a dove, light upon him. He said he is the Messiah. And when he saw him, he shouted, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he thought that since the Messiah come now, Israel will be free. Instead, the Messiah was around. And here he is inside prison yard. So he was doubting himself. Come, what will happen? Then he sent his disciples. Praise the Lord. He said, go and find out. Come. I mean, find out from that man. A mistake I make. Is he the one that is to come or we are expecting another? You know, sometimes the condition you find yourself, sometimes you begin to question the call you receive. When devil push you. And before you know what, what's your Jesus answer? He told him, he said, go and tell him, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, and the deaf are hearing. Go and tell him, in short, come and see the miracles that are taking place. See not according to what the word says I will do. He says, if you believe me not, he said, at least believe me for the works that I do in my Father's name. He said, they testify of me. He's not just speaking grammar. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses was sent to go to Egypt. He didn't go say, go and tell them. He was given the message. But he asked him, he knows my people, what sign will I give for them to know that you are the one that sent me? That was when he gave him those two signs. Amen. Amen. And he told them, if they will not believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. They will. The emphasis is the word, the message. Church, listen. This is what the bride uses to know where God dwells. How you will know whether somebody is called or not. God does not call anybody to go and do healing and deliverance. Listen, okay, minister. There is no ministry like that. And we have so many ministers in the church. I hope I'm talking to some people listening. There is no ministry for you to be seeing vision. All these gifts that we have is to back up a message that we have. Moses was not sent to Egypt, to go and turn sticks to snakes. He was not carrying sticks anywhere. Hey, with posters. Come. Everybody, come. Bring any stick you bring here. I will show you I'm a servant of God. If I throw that stick down, it doesn't turn to snake. Then know that I'm not a servant of God. Everybody bring sticks. That was not his ministry. When he went to Pharaoh, exactly what he knew. Pharaoh, I have a message from my God. That I should tell you to let his people go. The first thing Pharaoh asked him is, what is the sign you have to show me that God sent you? Hallelujah. And what did he say? He said, you want a sign? You know he was equipped. He did not shake. Oh, glory be to God. He's sure of who sent him. He knows that he's behind him. It gives you boldness when you know that you are in the will of God. When you know you are in the will of God. It gives you confidence and boldness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, is that what you want? And he threw that stick down. He turned to snake. Pharaoh said, this is common. Hey, Janes. Jambres. That's their names. The magicians. There are magicians behind the pulpit in the church of Jesus Christ. Magicians. It's not every anointing that is of God. Some of them, they are magical anointing. Hallelujah. Magical anointing. How do I know? Hey. See, I am telling you something. It's a mystery. But our eyes have been opened. Listen, church. See. The two of them had the same kind of gift. Moses dropped his own stick. Listen, and he turned to snake. It did not move Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, wait a minute, Janes, Jambres, come to Naor. They did their invocation and incantation, throw their own stick, he turned to snake also. That is the time that Moses' eye would do like this. Yeah. Father, now you say make I come. And the Lord, I can see the Lord telling him, Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses did not know what will happen next. But now watch it. This is where I am going. All of them have the ability to turn sticks to snakes. But watch it. The magicians were with Pharaoh. With all that anointing, what were they telling Pharaoh? They were telling Pharaoh, look, make them more in bondage. Increase their bondage. Make them suffer more. Turn them to more slaves. Make them harder. We are behind you. That is the message from the other people when they turn sticks to snakes. But Moses' own that followed that was a message of freedom. Was a message of freedom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there are pastors that have ended up putting believers more into bondage than anything else. And they have anointing. They can raise the dead. Every gift in the Bible, they are performing it. But what is the message? It doesn't matter. When you see yourself that you cannot be delivered from the spirit of worldliness, you are in the bondage of worldly spirits. And a pastor is busy telling you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And unknown to you, he's keeping you in the bondage of the world. Church, there is the God of this evil age. And all those in bondage to this world, he's the one you are serving. And you don't have freedom. Do you know that there are churches that no matter how anointed you are in the congregation, you cannot use that gift except you are related to the pastor? Sister, if you are not his wife or his daughter, you can't prophesy. You can't do anything there. And yet you are gifted. Is that not a bondage? It's a bondage. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. My name is Moses. I came to Egypt, shall we thus say the Lord. Listen. Suddenly, the snake of Moses swallowed up the snake of the magicians, so that you will know who is on the right side with God. Watch it and see. It is thus said the Lord. One more time. The snake of Moses will swallow the snake of magicians. So you understand why the magicians are afraid. Hey, let every magician around the church hear me. You are the Lord that changeth not. You are the Lord
changeth not.
You are the Lord that changeth not.
You are the Lord that changeth not.
Oh, you are the Lord that
changeth
not.
You are the Lord that changeth not.
You are the Lord that changeth not. Change it
all. You are the Lord that
changes
all. You are the Lord that changes all.
You are the Lord that changes all.
You are the Lord that changes
all. You are the Lord that changes all.
You are the Lord that changes
all. You are the Lord that changes
all. You are the Lord that changes all.
It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said the snake of Moses here in Egypt. We swallow up every magician snake in this Egypt. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Brother Assembly, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a true man of God that is called. You don't begin to defend your calling. Don't defend your calling. Don't. Somebody that this Omoboriowo in that say he is the next person now. Shomolu. John came back. And if you refuse to recognize him, according to his claim, he will fight you. He don't fight this church, tire. He don't fight me, tire. Praise the Lord. A true man of God does not defend his ministry. Amen. There was a time that Moses' calling was challenged by Dathan, Korah, and Abiram. How many people remember that story? Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, they rose up and gathered the chief of the people, 250 leaders in the camp. All of them came up to meet Moses. You're on, don't do much. The two I said, now you be the only person around here. The challenging. Ha! Moses got angry and asked God, let them come. You know the story. He said, if these people die the normal death, then you will know that God didn't call me. But if they will do a new thing and this ground will open and swallow them, then the people will know that God has called me. All of you come, let's confirm who God called. Oh yeah, come out. And foolish people, they came out. Foolish people, they came out. And they came out. And before Moses talked, God's anger came upon Dathan, Korah, and Abiram. And before you know what, with their families, the crowd opened and swallowed up all of them. Ah, this crowd shall swallow all your enemies in the name of Jesus Christ. It must happen. No? Not only them, the rest, fire. God rain fire on the rest. Burnt up all of them. So that they will know who God has called. Listen, church. Hey, praise the Lord. They were challenging Aaron also. Very, read the story. You just see. Just shortly after what happened to Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, shortly after, they begin to face Aaron. And Moses said, it's okay. All of you, Abi, all the leaders of every tribe, Oya, bring your symbol of authority. Bring your offer. Oya, bring your offer, all of you. Because many of them, the thing they are using behind the pulpit now, offer. Bring all your offer. Put in the tabernacle of the congregation. Place it there. The one, all of them, dry sticks. So, the one that will bring forth blood. So they bring almond fruit out. He said, that person be the one that God has called. 12 of them, write the names of everyone. For the house of Levi, he said, let Aaron bring his own to represent that house. And they write the name of Aaron on his own. Everyone wrote their names there. And they took it to the tabernacle of congregation and placed it there. In the morning, Israel gather now. And Moses went and they brought out all. Only the one for Aaron bought it. Only the one for Aaron. The rest They tried drier than they went in there. By that, Aaron was justified. The same thing in this age, William Branham. Of all the ministers that God has used in this age, none has had the vindication. So that through that, you will know who God has sent. They want to see a sign so that they will know. And one time, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, can you screen it for us? Paul. Some people were arguing about the ministry of Paul as an apostle. And what did he say? Verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. What did he say? He said, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. The apostle has a sign to show that he's an apostle. That truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Anybody that comes in this age and says he's an apostle, we want to see the signs. We want to see the wonders. We want to see the mighty deeds. And that man in Shomolu cannot even pray for headache to go. I hope one day he will hear me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. One of his members that left here and went blind, worshiping there. Now a deadly sickness came upon him. I brought him here for me to pray for him. And I asked him, your chief apostle, he didn't pray for you. He said, when they came on the prayer line, when he reached his turn, he asked him what his problem was. And when he told him, this is the sickness I have, he said, he told him, oh, go and meet the doctor. Go and see a doctor. Go and see a doctor. Eh? Go. Go and see a doctor. Apostle. I'll be ordinary brother. I say I'll be anything. Did I say I'm anything? I said, call me brother. Most ordinary brother. Hallelujah. Jerry, you know who I'm talking about. And before I said in Jesus' name, before I said in Jesus' name, then my office could not contain him until he broke the seat in my office. When the power of God came and they were walking on him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If ordinary me can have such anointing, how much more an apostle? If there is no vindication, power following you, his evidence, you are on your own. He didn't send you. He does not send anybody with grammar. Watch the scripture. God has never ordained an intellectual to carry his word. It's not the grammar you speak. It's not the grammar you speak. And it's not the claim you make. A true man of God is humble. He waits for the master that sent him to vindicate him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's the truth. That's the truth. No man taketh this honor upon himself. Be like Aaron. Aaron was vindicated. You must be vindicated. That is why I say something here. You have no right to go and claim you are an evangelist until there is a power you have that will back you up. An evangelist does not stand behind a pulpit in a church. He goes out to where there is darkness to shine the light there. And when he goes there, he's going to meet occultic people. He's going to meet Mami Water, demons from shrines. He will sit down there, stand there, and tell them there is a light that has come and darkness must go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And they are refusing to accept William Branham in this age. We know the testimony that William Branham gave concerning Billy Graham. Who is Billy Graham? Billy Graham, I think he's still alive. He was his contemporary at that time. Love evangelism so much. And at that time, he went to India for evangelism. And see, don't say there is no demon. There is demon. Hey, Satan. Don't say there are no powers. There are powers. Principalities and powers. Bible recognized them. And they came to him. They brought blind people. They brought crippled people. They brought paralyzed people. They gathered them. And they came. You are a Christian? Say, your master, Jesus. We read in the book. He said, those that believe in him, the works that he did, they will do also. He healed the sick. He restored the blind. He did this. Oh yeah. Confirm that you are his follower. See them here. Some of you have read that testimony. And Billy Graham, he said he was so ashamed because he went there with grammar. For God's love, the world. Oh, give your life to Christ. Grammar, English, in an occult place where they've seen the reality of the supernatural. They will accept your own if your own is higher than their own. And then he packed himself. I came back to America. And the news got to Will Abraham. And Will Abraham said, this if not for the state of Christianity, that Billy Graham will have told him that, show him other scriptures that says that everyone has his gift. And then he will have said, wait, let me send for my brother with this type of gift. He said he will have sent for him from America. Then he will have gone to join him in that crusade. But because of jealousy, they will not call him. Hallelujah. And it is still happening in the churches to today. Pastor that does not have a prophetic gift will sit down there and there will be no prophet in that church. And where there is no vision, what happens? And we will perish. Witches will sit down in the congregation, nothing to expose them. Funny things are happening among members. Nothing because a man stood there. He cannot allow any other person to come up. And William Abraham told them, when it was time, he now went to that same India. The thing they vexed him. And when he landed in India, he announced, he said, bring your worst cases. Hey! Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, bring your worst cases. Jesus, may you reign. See, that was all he was saying, you know. They brought funny. They said, one of the people they brought was, he was born in a very funny scene. You know, and then his body twisted like a monkey. So he was walking on both hand and leg. They carry that one home. Blind people, paralyzed people. They brought them, put all of them on the stage for everybody to see. And when they gathered, William Branham lift up his hand. Yesterday you reign. You reign. In the name, shout the name, Jesus. Elijah lifted his hand that they may know that thou art the Son of God. And for this reason he went to the cross on Calvary. While he offered that prayer, that was all he said. That man that hung like that stood up. The paralytics, all of them, the paralyzed people, they all stood up. They brought trucks to pack crutches away from the crusade ground. They knew that this Jesus is not English. This sign shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why, see, if you want to have a successful ministry, recognize the grace in your life. When you are going somewhere to handle any case, don't go for seeking vain glory. No. Let God alone take the glory. If I know that I need my grace, I don't pray for you, tired, nothing happened, I will tell you, wait, I'll come tomorrow. I will go and meet my brothers that have the same grace that I know. They should come. They will follow me and I will come. And if two of us pray, they did not go, I go say, make a bring prophet, make it join us. Maybe God will show us the reason. I will go and bring a prophet, join my brother, we will go. All this seeking for vain glory, it does not achieve anything to the glory of God. You see? Praise the Lord. But the important thing is that if God calls you, before you will accept anybody that makes any claim like the one in Shomolu, before you accept him, if he says he's a pastor, fine. If he says he's a teacher, fine. The man get grammar for mouth. Oh, he's a lawyer. Oh, he has charisma. Ah! You see, I'm advertising him for people who look for the negotiator. You know, because I have often said it. That is how the devil has scattered and destroyed the fabric of love in this entire message. Somebody called me from Zambia. I sent a mail and said, in Brother Assembly, he has seen watching us. He has seen pastor. He has seen prophet. He has seen evangelist. He has seen the teachers. He said, what of apostle? Do you people have apostle there? You see, and maybe he's watching us now from Zambia. Listen. Listen, this is my reply to him. Listen. The fivefold ministry, the only ministry of the fivefold that is localized is the office of the pastor. The rest, they are not localized. They are for the body. And every church cannot have all of them there. If we have a prophet here, he's not a prophet for Pride Assembly alone. He's for the body of Christ. From time to time, churches can recognize him and they will invite him for programs. And he will go there and minister to them because they don't have that gift there. And you say, we don't have apostle in Pride Assembly. It is not about Pride Assembly, it's about the body of Christ. And Pride Assembly is not the headquarters that produces the fivefold ministry. It's God that places. If he has placed evangelists here, we thank God for that. Before we had prophet here, I was going to Zaria to meet a prophet. When I had problem, we would go to Zaria. I went there with my wife. Brother Francis, you know them. But when God raised prophet among us, I didn't have to travel again. When you are looking for Sokoto, you never Sokoto. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And other intermediate churches, they have a need of a prophetic prayer. They should not be ashamed to travel to Bride Assembly to meet a prophet. They should organize programs and invite them and they will come. The same thing with evangelists. It's not for Bride Assembly alone. It is for the body of Christ. So, don't tell me whether there's apostle here or not. Praise the Lord. You have recognized the form. And I thank God for the form. But there must be apostle somewhere in the entire message. It's for us to recognize him. And let God use him to bless us. Praise the Lord. That every call that God calls you, there is a vindication. So it's not only grammar. What sign do you have? Show us what you are doing that confirm that God is with you. Those people don't even believe in evangelism. They don't believe in evangelism. They don't even believe in the gifts. It's a complete mortuary. They don't even believe in prayers. No vigil, no that vigil. They criticize us that we have prayer groups. They say, where do you see that in the Bible? Prayer groups. Oh. Praise the Lord. So if anybody makes any claim, you have a right to ask him. Give us evidence that you are called by God. Don't tell me the story that one man one day said, see, it is not a man that gives you ministry. Because many of you here, your claim to your ministry is that a prophet say, do you know you are a servant of God? Do you know God is saying you are suffering because you refuse to answer him? All the suffering, where they suffer, because you refuse to answer God's call. That's why nothing they work. Okay, I have told you. Okay, now I agree. Then change your dress every day, day inside church, and see whether the condition will change. If the condition doesn't change, then you better go back to what you were doing before. Maybe call. And if God is going to call you, he speaks to you personally. Personally. And anything any man sees you and tells you, it is only for you to hold, that will be a confirmation to the day God will come and talk to you. Any dream you have, you see yourself, you know, before mighty crusade, healing, deliverance taking place, it is to be a witness for the day you begin to see certain manifestation. Then you say, okay, this is what I saw in the dream. But don't, because you see dream, you wake up, they find money to rent a house, to rent a hall, to buy instruments. Don't do that. When the time comes, you will know, and God will minister to you personally. And if not, you will have nothing to make reference to the day trouble will come. Because you should be able to say, God, what I'm doing, are you not the one that told me to do it? Then why are you not backing me up? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And don't beg God to help him. Uzzah, don't help God. You will die for nothing. Uzzah, don't help God. You will die for nothing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can't help him. And don't beg God to serve him. Like Ahimaaz. He knows our ability. Let him place you where you belong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
On beyond the moon and stars he went with the Old Testament saints. Oh, what a victorious march that must have been with a real conqueror. After a while, they come in sight of that glorious city. Abraham says to Sarah, come here, honey. And she gets Isaac and comes along. Isaac gets Jacob. Jacob gets Joseph. And he says, that city that Daddy saw, whose builder and maker is God. I walked about on the earth looking for a city to come whose builder and maker was God. And now I'm coming near the gates. Although the great man that they were, they could not conquer it. It taken one to come down to do the conquering. Though Abraham conquered difficult, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, but there was only one who could conquer sin. That was him, the Lord Jesus. And as they seen the light from the inside the city, and the great pearly gates are shining. Jesus in the forefront, marching on. And the angels begin to ascend to the top of the buildings. And they look coming. And the Old Testament saints cried out, "Open up, ye everlasting gates, and be ye open, and let the King of Glory come in, the mighty conqueror." And the angel screamed back and said, "Who is this King of Glory?" And the Old Testament saints cried out, "The Lord of Hosts, mighty in battle." And the gates come open, and he placed at the gate the old rugged cross. And every man and woman ever comes into that gate will have to bow before that cross and recognize him as the mighty
this reason he's alive. Glory. Hallelujah. God determines when it is time to move to the next day, to the next item in the agenda. The law was finished. Temple worship was finished. They were still in the temple and killing goats and rams. Even when they saw that without hand, nobody went and did it. The day Jesus Christ hung on the cross there, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies was torn into two. It still didn't mean anything to them. Maybe they carried tell or go so and back. He said, remove not the ancient landmarks. That's what the Bible says. It's an order. Why? Because you are traveling here now. There are people that are coming behind you. So you leave a mark of the route that they will follow. They will use it to identify. This is the route our fathers followed. And we will follow it. They baptized in the name of Jesus. You will baptize in the name of Jesus. They did not ordain their wives. We shall not ordain our wives. It was not a family business. We shall not set up family business. Is somebody understanding me? They did not charge people before they pray for them. We will not charge anybody before we pray for them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to understand it that way. Don't come here and modify salvation. Modernize salvation. You don't do that. The due order now is to follow the message of the hour. You refuse him, God will spew you out of his mouth. You will never hear his word again. Number five. The person that God called, we are talking about the due order. Number one, he must be a eunuch. Every servant of God, you must be a spiritual eunuch. And that is why all the chamberlains that prepare the queen for the king, they are the first qualification is that you must be a eunuch. You have no ability to fondle with the other queen. You have no ability to pass your seed to her womb. You have no ability to corrupt and mess her up. You don't have that ability. Why? A true servant of God will say it as God has commissioned him. He will not add and he will not subtract from the message. He does not have the ability to take over the master's wife. As we saw, Samson, you remember this, the story of Samson? Praise the Lord. Samson went to marry a Philistine woman. That was before Delilah. And then, you know what happened in that story. Before he came back to collect his wife, his best friend on the day of his wedding, his best friend collected the wife in his absence. That was when he came back with the jawbone of an ass. And he slew 1,000 Philistines in anger. His best friend, best man, collected his wife. You see that in Judges chapter 14. Was that not the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden? The serpent was supposed to be a servant to that family, Adam and Eve. Instead of serving them, he was feeling all right with the man's wife. And that is a type of what is going on in the churches today. They have taken over the church of Jesus Christ and they have become the masters instead of the servants. That's why they have taken over the title of their master before the master's wife. When a man says he's reverend, you know what it means. When a man says he's the general overseer, that title is an unscriptural title. Hey, no man is the general overseer of the church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is the general overseer. We pastors, we are overseers of our local churches. You are not general overseer, nothing. So instead of giving glory to God, they are giving glory to themselves. I have washed a channel. We are a man. Somewhere in East Africa, they were testifying. The prophet wanted a crusade and picked somebody from the congregation, a woman who had been looking for fruit of the womb for long, and prophesied to her, and it came to pass after so many years of marriage. And now they brought the baby for Thanksgiving. I was watching them. The man sat down on a seat. It was like a testimony of Thanksgiving or something, on the special seat, the GO seat and things like that. And then the man came to the altar with the baby. The man, woman was holding the baby, and he said, "Praise the Lord." Everybody shouted hallelujah. Then he knelt down. "Papa, I want to thank you for this baby. If not for you, I wouldn't have this baby." And the man was smiling, you see, if not for me, he can't have that baby. If not for me. And he took so much time praising him. Because that man accepted those praise, I call him Antichrist. An Antichrist! And all of you that come to give testimony, and you lift up a man, "Oh, man of God, hey, servant of God, hey, man of God," you yourself, you'll be Antichrist. Idol worshippers. That's who you are. You have come before your idol to pay obeisance. That man is the idol. Give glory to God for everything. He uses man. It's good to recognize that God uses man. But there is a way you will present it that will become idolatry. Idolatry. Praise the Lord. And that's the condition. That's the condition. That's the condition. Elisha was faithfully following Elijah. What was his reward later on? Double portion. Tell me now, if men of God now in this age have any regards outside. Tell me, if you go out and say you are a pastor, whether if you go to the airport, even we, they closed our account of Bright Assembly recently by the Central Bank, EFCC, that we should go and get clearance from EFCC first. They closed the account. Why? They said that they are following churches that, you know, all this money laundering. Government, they will thief money, they will use their pastor's bank account. Cocaine pushers, they will send the money through the pastor's account, then they will share it. So they have found out. So they say, "Everybody now, come and clear yourself first. We are recording somewhere. So any money coming in, they go look. They go find out from where this money they come from." And I thank God they are doing that. But that is the condition we are in. Gehazi, leprous, no respect for us anymore. Because we have become businessmen. Church now is business. Money making. You reach the airport, they search us more than they search ordinary people. Yes, because they know. I know somebody who went to the embassy to get visa to go to America. Overseer of a church. They refused to give him visa. Why? The balance in his account, the money was too much. And they asked him, "What do you do?" He said, "He's a pastor." A pastor with all this money in your account, they refused to give him visa. I am aware of it. I know the man. The man is somewhere at Ogba. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Leprous. Number 6, the final one. So don't be afraid. We'll go close now. Amen. Listen, the sixth condition you must fulfill to be in due order. Number 6, that service that you do must be his time, in his time and his season. There is a time for everything. In John chapter 2, Jesus Christ at the marriage at Cana, and they came to him, the wine was finished. The woman, his mother, knew his ability. He must have been performing some things that make Mary to know. And then they came and met him. She went and met him. "Come, oh, why not finish? What do we go do now? Do something." What did he answer her? He said, "Woman, why troubling me now?" He said, "My time has not come." He knew what his ministry was. But there is a time for the ministry to start. You know the grace of God in your life for a particular ministry. There is a time set for it, and when the time comes, it's not man that will tell you. Church, be careful with prophecies. The devil can want to make a shipwreck of you, minister, and send a prophet to tell you your time is up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if, hallelujah. Okay, there is a time for it. There is time for it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, when God's time comes, nothing can stop it. You believe it? Let me see your hand up. Oh, put down your hand. See, when in the dark ages, when people tried to revolt against the Roman Catholic Church, everyone that rose up was killed. Everyone that tried to criticize all the errors that were going on in the Catholic Church, they were killed in Europe. But when the time came and God himself spoke to Martin Luther, he went as others went. They were going to kill him. It was the king of Germany that rose and said, "Don't touch him." God used that king because it was the time. And he remained untouchable until he led all the Protestants and protested out of the Catholic Church. They could not touch him because that was the time. That's the time. The prophecy of Jesus Christ went forth. Hallelujah. Before he came up, there must have been all manner of impersonations. But the Bible says, in due time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In due time. He said he came as a woman. Galatians chapter 4 says so. To fulfill that scripture. That is why he told his disciples, "I am going to send you the promise of the Father. But go and tarry in Jerusalem." And how he will come, he didn't tell them. Your own is wait until you are endued with power. Don't go out until you are sure you have a power. Don't go out for family deliverance. Don't go for family liberation. Brother, sister, don't go until you are sure there is a power behind you. Don't say, "I am going by faith." Wait. Not be like that if they go by faith. You only go and create problem for yourself. That's why you see some women who do deliverance. Sisters that do deliverance. Sisters, particularly young girls that jump and they cast out demon, cast out this. Watch sometimes the kind of things they suffer. They cast me out there. You look, you finish. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? You are hungry. So you decided to join Timothy to be going for family deliverance. I beg, so anything they give you, I beg, we go share them. Timothy, I beg, make her follow you now. I beg, make her follow you now. Ahimaaz, make her follow you now. Make her follow you. Bring me up now for this family deliverance. You hear some people, "Timothy, not be true. Bring me up now. Make her follow you so that you make her come." And some will even say, "Follow me so that I'll be bringing you up." Praise the Lord. It's time for everything. There was a time for worship to be at the temple. And there was time when it stopped. And God told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 12 that the only place he will accept the sacrifice of the people is where? It is in that place that he, God, has chosen to place his name there. It is only where he has placed his name. That is the only place you will bring your sacrifice. And he placed his name in the temple, where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark of the Covenant was at the altar, in the temple. So he placed his name there, Jehovah. So he told you the various time of the year where you should all gather and bring your offerings there. But one day, Jesus Christ came in John chapter 4. He said, "The time has come now where you will neither worship in a mountain or in the temple. The reason was simple. God was now changing an address of worship. From the temple, he was now going to be in a man. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So he placed his name on that man. So all worship now is in Christ Jesus. If you leave Jesus and you are going to the temple in Jerusalem, you are wasting your time. You are out of order. And that is why God allowed General Titus to destroy that temple. He scattered that temple because that temple was no more needed. The due order. And I still have some Sabbatarians that are following some of those ordinances that have been done away with. They are still holding on to Sabbath. That follow the law. Sabbath did not follow grace. Grace ended Sabbath. Sunday did not replace Saturday. No day replaced Saturday. No day is Sabbath. Sunday is not a holy day. Sunday is a day to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ being the first day of the week. And it is a tradition of the apostles. It's not even a commandment in the Bible. It's a tradition. And we thank God for the Roman Empire that allowed us a holiday to use that day to worship our God. It's not a commandment. It's not a replacement of Saturday. Colossians chapter 2 verse 17, 18. Let 16 and 17. Let us know that let no man judge you in meat, in a moon, in a Sabbath day, in whatever ordinance, save for they are a shadow of things to come, the bodies of Christ. Praise the Lord. So you are worshiping God on Saturday, you are out of order. You are in another day. Behind. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is very, very important that you note. Take notes, church. Amen. I use another example, Moses. I am stressing the sixth point that it must be in God's own time and in his season. Whatever you want to do. And watch it. In Genesis 15, God told Abraham that his children will sojourn in a strange land. For how many years? He said in the fourth generation, 400 years, in the fourth generation, that he will go and deliver them with a mighty hand. And it was fulfilled with their sojourn in Egypt. He said 400 years. Listen. And he actually showed maybe the mother of Moses, or somehow Moses knew that he was going to be the one that would deliver Israel. That's why I say wait until the appointed time. Amen. Wait until the appointed time. And God himself determines that time. Moses, when it was time for him, he knew. But he just assumed that time. Because he saw his people suffering. How do I know Moses knew he would be the deliverer? Because the Bible says he was not ashamed to be identified with the Lord's people, even though he was in the palace. He knew his identity. A true Christian, no matter what you are enjoying on earth here, you always know you are in this world, but not of this world. And you will live like a pilgrim by the life that you live. Moses knew it. By inheritance, because he was an adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. That was his position. But he rather identified with the despised people than take all the honor of the Egyptian honor and end up not fulfilling God's promises for him. The Bible says so. And one day he was going around and he saw some Egyptians, taskmasters, beating and dealing with his brethren. He came there and knowing that he will be the deliverer now. But how God will use him, he didn't know how God will use him to do that deliverance. He fought those people and killed one of them. Hide them somewhere. Hide them somewhere. I went back to the palace. Small time. After some time, he was strolling around again. And he saw some two Jews now. They were fighting themselves. And he came to tell them, you are brethren and you cannot be fighting like that. Now he tell and say, you know Jews, what do you concern you? Oh, you don't come kill us as you kill the other one the other day, Abi. So Moses said, this is why I do. Bila say, everybody don't hear him. My life is in danger. That is how he ran away from Egypt. Disappeared for his own life. What he tried to do by his own might, although he knew that he was to be the deliverer, but because it was not yet time, he went by his own effort, that ministry folded up. Everyone that goes into a ministry, if it is not God's time, you are wasting your time. It will fold up. No matter how much you have heard the voice of God, that he will use you. But why? Because it was not yet time. It was 400 years, and maybe at that time, oh glory be to God, maybe at that time, Moses remembered the prophecy and calculated and discovered that they said there will be there 400. We don't nearly reach 400. So let me prepare to deliver my people. But the Bible says, after 400 years, the prophecy is after 400 years. And the Bible tells us that it was when they were 430 years. It's not after 400. After 400 years. And by that time, blessed be the name of the Lord, Moses had already spent about 40 years. In fact, he has forgotten about the ministry. Certainly. He was already 80 years. We go use an 80-year-old man to go and deliver a whole nation. So, certainly, that vision was gone. But when God speaks, he watches over his word to perform it. The prophecy, the vision may tarry. But it is written, at the appointed time, it shall speak for itself. Except it is not God that has spoken. If it is God that has spoken, keep it somewhere. At the appropriate time, he will wake it up. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And you saw, when it was the appointed time, an old man who had now known that he has no ability, you saw the great exploits he did because it was the appointed time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And how do we know it is the appointed time for the restoration ministry to take place? Yes, the Bible speaks about a time we call when there will be a falling away. Is this not the time for the falling away? From the faith. This is the time. Christianity have departed from the faith of the apostles. Yes, there is a departing from the faith. There is a falling away from the faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And therefore, the prophecy that Elijah shall come and restore. This is the time for the restoration. The dreadful day is soon coming. Therefore, Malachi chapter 4 should be in place by now. It is a midnight cry. So it is midnight now. The midnight, the darkest hour of Christianity. Therefore, we should expect a cry. As we see in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6. He is soon coming. Therefore, we expect a shout. And if we are in expectation, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the man is saying, fulfilling the same scriptures as we see, backed up and vindicated, I am telling you, if you refuse to follow him, you are out of order. The due order now is to follow the message of the hour. You refuse him, God will spew you out of his mouth. You will never hear his word again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The season that we are in, praise God. Praise the Lord. The season that we are in is a season where we are expecting the thunders. Praise the Lord. We are in the season of the thunders. And this is very deep, what I want to say now. Gamaliel, when he saw that revival that was going on, And they were beating the apostles and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were persecuting them. Gamaliel told them, hold on. There was a time one Theodosius came. And they said, blah, 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 they raised, hey, fire, they burn everywhere. They said, at the end, all of them, they went. Another time when Judas came up again, they did their own, saying, not them, not them, not them, not them, not them. They expected Messiah, not them, not them, not them. He said, what happened? They fed him. He said, this one is on again. Now these disciples are doing of Jesus. He said, if this thing be of God, he said, it will stand. But if it is not of God, it will scatter like others scatter. So he said, therefore, be careful. If not, you may be found fighting against God. That is, leave them like that. Time will prove what it is. But I tell you also, we are now in the season of the thunders. The next thing that the bride of Jesus Christ is expecting is the opening, the revelation of the seventh seal in Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. Six seals were opened. We are revealed. But the seventh one was opened, but there was no revelation given. Why? Because it is in the seventh seal that we have the seven thunders. The mighty angel in Revelation chapter 10 standing up. After he stood up and announces that there should be time no longer with a book in his hand. Hallelujah. The angel went to John. Remember, when he cried, there was seven thunders that uttered their voices. When he cried like a lion. I'm telling you, Revelation chapter 10, reading from verse 1 to verse 6. And the Bible says that the seven thunders uttered their voices. But, verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants the prophets. Then going down from verse 8 up to verse 11, praise the Lord, the angel told John, that he was showing the revelation, to go and collect the book from him that held it in the hand. And he went and collected the book. I'm quoting from my reference from verse 8, Revelation chapter 10. And that he should eat it. And that when he eats it, that it will be sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly. And he took the book. And he ate it. And it was sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly. And the angel said that he must prophesy again to nations, to peoples, to princes, to kings. Listen. We are now expecting the seven thunders and the fulfillment of that aspect that John took a book to it. I am speaking to end time message believers. I am using a language that some other people may not understand. Some people don't even know what I call seal. Some people don't even know what I call thunder. Their own Bible never read, they never read reach that one. But listen, bride of Jesus Christ, wherever you are hearing me now. We are expecting the fulfillment of these two things. John eating the book and the thunders sounding. That is the next stage after the shout. The shout is the ministry that calls us back to Bible Christianity. That was fulfilled in the ministry of William Branham. Listen, now that we are expecting that, just as it happened in the days that Gamaliel was referring to, the same thing is happening now again. People will run ahead and say, I am John. People will run ahead and say, I am the one. Some say the thunder has been revealed. Some say that they are John. They are all liars. And the reason is, the thunder they have shouted, they are fading away now. You don't know when they were sounding in the early 80s. You would really think there was something going on. They shook the whole entire message circle. It was fight, fight. They will reach and scatter this church. Are you still like this? Where the thunder has sounded. The thunder has sounded. Until now. Sister Chu, when do you believe in thunder before? Some of you are sitting down here. You are from such churches. Now you find out. The man that said, he is the one that God told him about the revelation of the thunder. He was preparing to take them home. Joseph Coleman in America. Now, he suffered stroke. And for a long time, eventually he died sometime last year. Now, when he died in India, I now begin to say, come. We just said that this man will carry us, God rapture. What will happen? The same thing, some other people. They came and said, Raymond Jackson will be the one that will sound the thunders. They even wrote a book, He That Is To Come. And before you know what, they were saying all manner of things. Till 2004, December, the man died. When he died, we approached them. You now say that this man will carry us going in the rapture. What happened? They wrote another book, Intellectuals. Yes, My Defense. That is the title of the book. And the same people again, they are now saying, John, I am John. I am John. Except you follow me. Except you follow me. And people are busy following. And when that thing started about 3 or 4 years ago in this city of Lagos, because of the hand of fellowship we had with some preachers, like the one in Port Harcourt and others, they took the advantage of their access to this ministry and their access to some brethren, and we are going to sow the seed of that nonsense. And so many brethren here, blind people, they left the church to follow them. And they went there and they were saying all manner of things. I stand at the altar here and I will not lie. My God told me when that was going on that that fellowship was a burial ground. I told some of you. I heard it, the Lord told me that it is dead people that go there to be buried. And watch every one of them that left here to go there. There were people that committed one offense or the other here. Instead of asking God us to forgive them, including those who were in charge of our finances and messed up our church finances here. When we removed them from that office, it is then they went there. Moses is bad. Moses is a hypocrite. Moses is not devil. One of them called me a serpent seed. That is the kind of thing they are following. Church. And at that time, they got some people. God, even the ministerial board divided. I told them that John ministry there, no matter how you type it, is not a man. It is a move of God. It's a move of God. It is not a man. It is a period where the move of God will move among the bright setting. The quick and short and powerful work that God will do to show forth his bride before we go home. He said, he had the book. He said, to be sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the stomach. Hallelujah. And he said, you will prophesy. It is a prophetic ministry. You will say something that will cause a reaction around the world. And I keep saying it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, listen, church. Listen, church. I have been worried over something, that the followers of the ministry of William Branham, we are so fragmented. So fragmented. In the early hours of this morning, as I was studying, the Lord spoke to me. I ran to the church here. I tried to print it out. To print something out. I was shouting here. When I came, I called Brother Shile. I was shouting. I said, God talks to me. I said, God talks to me. I know I will never go in error. Listen, church. The Lord was ministering to me as it happened to Israel. That is how it will happen in this message. Listen to me, ministers. You will re-echo this thing. I'm telling you. Israel. Everything you see happening to Israel, there's prophecy for it. There's prophecy for it. They are fulfilling. There was a prophecy in the Bible that was fulfilled in the scattering of Israel, in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And they were all dispersed abroad. Like intermediate believers are scattered everywhere abroad. The Lord was ministering that to me this early morning hours. But you cannot defeat the purpose of God. Satan, no matter what you do, the unity of the faith will still take place. Will Abraham said it, but he did not give us scripture. He just said, wait until the squeeze. He said there will be a time for the squeeze. This was his language. He said, when the squeeze will come, he said, that is when brethren will begin to say, look, forget about our differences, we are one. But for now, see us. I believe this one. Brother Adeyika, if you are here, thank you for the book you gave me. Went to an intermediate church near his house to worship one Sunday. The pastor came to him. You are new here. So the church is somewhere at Okota. He said, well, he's new here, but he's not new in the message. He's from Pride Assembly Church. He said, oh, let me tell you the difference between us and Pride Assembly. And he brought a book and gave him the quotes of William Branham. So that tells us that we cannot keep television. He says, so Pride Assembly, they allow people to watch television. We here, we don't keep television. As if that is the message. And he gave that quote. But he did not quote the other quotes that William Branham was telling us how he was watching television. They did not quote the one that William Branham said, it is not the box that is of the devil. He said, it is the programs. They will always quote the one that will suit them. But when the squeeze will come, somebody will forget about television and say, brother, we are all holding on to the same message. How do I know? The prophecy of the gathering together that brought back Israel to be a nation now is in Jeremiah chapter 16. Can somebody open it? From verse 14. Jeremiah. He said, therefore, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, Russia, and from the lands whither he had driven them in the whole of Europe, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. This is how, verse 16, this is how he will bring them. Behold, I will send for many fishers, say the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after the fishers, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For my eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. The key words there. First, he will send the fishers. Second, he will send the hunters. When it will be time to restore them back to their land. From 1870, they were dispersed all over. And suddenly, just before 1939, there was a Zionist, a group of Jews, that suddenly began to have an awareness of convincing their people to go back to their land. That gave birth to the Zionist movement. Going back to convince their people. They were doing it underground. There are people that were rich in the Western world, in America, in other parts of Europe. They were telling them, showing them, giving them reason why they should go back to their land. And then those are the fishers. Going to convince them, and then they were collecting money from these rich Jews underground. And then if you are willing to go back to Palestine, they will give you money to go back there to those Palestinians that were living there to buy the land. So they will go there, meet one family, please can you sell this land? They were just doing it innocently. Those Arabs did not know what was going on. They were buying the land, buying the business of land. It was from the outcome of the Zionist movement just before the Second World War. But so many of them that we are in Europe, they were already too grounded with businesses there, with livestock, with farms. They were too grounded there, so they will not remember to go back to their land anymore. They were satisfied staying wherever they were. But God said they must return. So when he used the fishers to fish them out, few responded. Those ones who didn't go, he decided to use the hunters. A fisherman will go with a bait. Okay? A fisherman. But a hunter, he will come with a weapon to kill. A hunter kills. You will not go, Abby? He said, in the caves, in the mountains, he said he will send his hunters. Hitler was one of the hunters. They began to fish them out. Look for them wherever they were, the Jews, in Europe. Everywhere. When they get them, kill them, because Hitler thought that the agenda he had, the Jews, will work against it. And so he wanted to finish them. Sending them into gas chambers, those of us who read that history of the Holocaust, sending them. I was reading somewhere where they said that when the soldiers that were coming from the battlefield, they needed blood, you know, to transfuse them, no more blood, that they went and gathered the children in the Jewish camps where some of them were. Gathered them, tied them, and they were draining away their blood. Draining all the blood in the body to go and save soldiers. That was how barbaric they were. Hunting them wherever they hid. They ran, they were hiding in caves, they would pursue them, reach there. That Hitler's SS squad. They would go there, and it was a terrible period for the Jews. But they were the hunters. It was at that stage that they themselves, they now say, look, let's go back home. Those who were alive now, when you say, let us go back, they were not ready to go back. As soon as the United Nations passed that resolution, giving them that land, then they now saw every reason to go back. Church, they will never have gone back to their land if the persecution did not take place. Church, when the time comes for the bride of Jesus Christ to be one, nobody will stand up and say, let's come together. Nobody will say, and that will take place at the sounding of the thunders. And before you know what, there will be a move that is known as the John ministry. A move that will take place among the bride setting that God will use to announce to the whole world that he has a bride. And just before they come after us, the rapture strikes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm saying this so that you don't get deceived. The anointing that deceives, he said, it will be so close that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. And I always say, the only people that can deceive you and me will be one who comes with the sermon book of William Branham. So I'm not looking for people who will deceive me in the Pentecostal circle. I'm looking for them who are holding the Bible. That's why I look at all of them, any claim in the message, I bring it back to the Bible. And when I see that it doesn't jive with what I understand, I come and go on air, go anywhere, meet you personally and tell you, stop that nonsense, you're an antichrist. Every one of them that I have met, except I have not met you, I tell them face to face, stop that thing, you are deceiving the people. Including the man in Shomolu. Including the one at Abado, the chiefest of apostles. Praise the Lord. Every one of them, I have told them. Because they are holding the sermon book. And this is the last bus stop. The last bus stop to salvation. After this, no more age. If you are lost now, you are lost forever. Don't joke with your eternal destination. And I am not telling you this to be a member of this church. I am trying to open your eyes so that by that same eye you can judge me. The day you see me deviating from what I say, no matter how sweet I explain it, carry your Bible and leave this church. I don't join them. For your own good. Don't love me so day you will follow me to hell. The due order. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is why, as the time is closing in, as we are expecting the coming of the Lord, church, don't play with your eternal destination. Use these things I am telling you. Whatever you are doing in the name of Christianity, make sure you are following the due order. Don't use any man-made reasoning to explain away anything you are doing that is contrary to the word. And by this, I hope I've been successfully tried to let you know the difference between the bride of Jesus Christ and the churches. I hope you are able to know why we are not a denomination. And I hope you are able to know why we take the stand that we take in a ministry like this, and why we have chosen to follow the ministry of William Marion Braham. God bless you. Can we stand up? We are following the due order.